Together, please, in a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come into thy presence today in and through our Savior's precious and most worthy name. We ask, O God, that today you'll come and be one of our number. Lord, that you'll move amongst us and pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord, as we seek to worship thee today, hear and answer prayer and be with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. 453 is our opening hymn this morning. 453, the page is 359. A pilgrim was I and a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam, when Jesus the kind shepherd found me, and now I am on my way home. 453, pages 359, if you have a hymn book in front of you, or the words will be on the screen as well. We'll stand together as we sing, please.
Thank you.
Well, let's seek the Lord again, please, in a word of prayer. Still our hearts before Him. Let's ask for His help and for His presence with us in the Lord's house this morning. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come into Thy holy presence. And Lord, we thank Thee today that surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. We thank Thee, Lord, that up until this point thus far, we who know and love Thee as Savior, Lord, we can say that Thy goodness and Thy mercy has never failed. We thank Thee, Lord, today that Thou art a faithful God. Thou art a covenant-keeping God. Lord, when You've said, I will be with Thee always, we thank Thee, Lord, today that we have proved that day after day and moment by moment, Lord, You've been with us. You've strengthened us. You've helped us. Lord, even as we look back in the week that has passed, we thank Thee, Lord, today that we can say that goodness and mercy followed us this past week. We thank Thee, Lord, today that You've been with us. We thank Thee, Lord, for Your protecting and preserving hand that has been upon us. We thank Thee, Lord, today that we're able to be in the house of the Lord for the health and the strength, Lord, You've given to us to be in Thy house this morning. We thank Thee, Lord, today that we are here, the living, to praise Thee. And Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to the service of worship, O God, we cry unto Thee for that very real sense of Thy presence. Lord, we long to know Thee. Lord, we long to hear the voice of the Lord today. Lord, we thank Thee for each one who has gathered in this place for public worship this morning. But, O God, we long that most of all that You would be here. Lord, that by Thy Spirit, Lord, and by Thy presence, Lord, that You would come and take complete control. Lord, we pray that the very atmosphere of this meeting house today will permeate, will be saturated with the Spirit of the living God. And Heavenly Father, we might be conscious, Lord, that Thou art here. And Lord, that we might hear the voice of the Lord. Lord, we've heard many voices this week. Lord, we've been in many conversations this week already. But, O God, we long to hear the voice of the Lord. Lord, that to this end, Lord, we pray that You'll drive back the forces of sin and Satan. Lord, defeat the powers of hell who would seek to come and seek to take away the good seed of the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll just close out every distracting thought. And Lord, for this time, may we know what it is to be shut in with God. Heavenly Father, we pray for that very real sense of Thy presence this morning. We ask, O God, that You'll come. And Lord, in this meeting house today, meet with us, O God, we pray. And Lord, as we would seek to draw nigh to Thee, Lord, we pray that it will be of the experience of each and all this morning. Lord, that You would draw near to us. Our Father, we thank Thee for this day. We thank Thee, Lord, for the Lord's Day, this day that reminds us that we serve a Savior who has risen and exalted and glorified. And Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today that we serve one who lives in that power of an endless life. We come to worship one today who is alive and alive forevermore. And Heavenly Father, we pray, therefore, that our worship of Thee might be acceptable in Thy sight. We thank Thee for our salvation. We thank Thee, Lord, for the good news of the gospel. We thank Thee, Lord, for each one in this meeting who received. We rejoice, O God, for all that You've done for us. And yet, O God, we cry unto Thee today for those who are still out of Christ and far from God. Lord, with no interest, Lord, or concern after the things of God, speak to them, O God, we pray. Remember, Lord, those who have wandered. Lord, we pray today for those who are far from God. Lord, those who are in the things of the world. Lord, those who once walked well with Thee. And yet, Lord, they're in those bypath meadows. Lord, we pray that You'll come and draw them back to Thyself, we pray. Make them sick with their sinning, we ask of Thee. Bring them to an end of themselves. And Lord, bring them to Thyself, we ask. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless the ongoing work and witness of our congregation here. Lord, You know, even over these summer months, as many of the works are closed for this time, yet, O God, we thank Thee today that Thou art not bound. We pray, Lord, that You'll come and bless, even this morning, bless this evening in the gospel, bless in the open air afterwards. Lord, we just cry unto Thee for this area of East Belfast. Lord, move, we pray. Lord, while many have no thought or concern, Lord, our interest after the things of God, come by Thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, plant that concern, we pray. Bless, Lord, even the upcoming summer camp, we pray. We ask, O God, that even as we gather this Tuesday night to pray specifically for it, Lord, we pray that You'll bless that work amongst the children and the young people. Bless Kyle and Anna. Bless all the workers. Lord, encourage them much. And Lord, we pray that summer camp this year will be the best camp ever, Lord, when many precious little ones will come to faith in Jesus Christ. O God, we look to Thee. Come, O God, we pray, remember this upcoming generation. We pray, Lord, that you'll pray, remember those today who, Lord, have, Lord, heard the things of God and be taught the things of God, even in recent times. And yet, Lord, they're still far from thee. Lord, little ones brought up in homes where there is no gospel light, O God, we pray that you'll save them. Lord, even over the other outreach efforts at the end of the summer as well, we just look to thee. Lord, that you'll save the boys and the girls, save our young people. Lord, spoil them for this old world, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll just be pleased, Lord, to do a work amongst them, we ask. Remember, Lord, those who are unwell at this time. Remember many today in the congregation who, Lord, are laid aside and not able to gather with us as they would love to. Lord, just put your healing hand upon them at this time, and very soon, Lord, that we'll see them back in the house of the Lord. Remember, Lord, the elderly today. Remember, Lord, those who are no longer able to gather with us, those who were faithful in days gone by. Minister to their needs. And Lord, we pray that you'll draw very close to them, even at this time. Remember, Lord, those who need our prayers in a very particular way. We ask, O God, that you'll come. And Lord, touch thy dear children, we ask. Bless the going forth of thy word across our land and across our nation. And ye, Lord, across the world, remember the missionaries today. Remember those who are serving thee in far-off lands. Encourage them and be with them. Remember, Lord, the persecuted church. Remember, Lord, those who do not have the liberties or the freedoms that we have to worship thee publicly. Encourage, Lord, their faith and strengthen them, O God, we pray. And, Lord, overturn and overrule, Lord, in evil and wicked rulers' hearts, we pray. And so, Lord, we look to thee. Come, O God, we pray. Bless us as we meet together in the house of the Lord this morning. And, Lord, may our time around the word of God be sweet and be hallowed. Hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're turning this morning to the book of 2 Kings, please, for our scripture reading. The book of 2 Kings, as we continue our series in the life of Elisha. 2 Kings in the chapter 4, please. 2 Kings chapter 4. It's a short Bible reading. This morning, I'm just going to read the first seven verses of this chapter. As we come to another miracle during the life and the ministry of this man, Elisha, and we see what the Lord did for him and did through him, even in a very difficult and dark situation. Let's read together the word of God from 2 Kings chapter 4 and the verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee, tell me? What hast thou in the house? And he said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out in all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go, sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts this morning. Can I take this opportunity to welcome you all along to our morning worship service? We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord this Lord's Day morning. And to those who are visiting with us, we welcome you as well at this time of holiday and sickness. We're glad to see those who are able to join with us and fill up those empty chairs and pews. We're glad to see you this morning all in the house of the Lord. Glad to see Laurie and Sonny. This is my first time in seeing you. I know you've been here for a little while. But we've missed each other, but we're glad to see you and trust the Lord bless your time with us. Can I just remind you of the meetings throughout the day and the rest of the week in the will of the Lord. We meet again tonight for our gospel service at 6:30, and we'd love you to come and join with us again tonight, 6:30 for the gospel meeting tonight. That'll be preceded by the time of prayer at 6 p.m. And then after the meeting tonight, we'll have another one of our open-air gospel services, and we'll meet over in Tullycarnet, over there at Milford Drive, just up past the old primary school at Tullycarnet, immediately after the gospel meeting tonight for that gospel service. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, is our Bible study and prayer meeting. And this Tuesday night, we are, as we always do on the week before camp, give the meeting over entirely to pray specifically for the work of our upcoming summer camp, which starts Monday week. So Kyle and Anna will be speaking to us and bringing before us the needs for summer camp, and it's a different venue this year, and all that will be explained on Tuesday evening. So I want you to come, I want you to support them and support the workers and the campers in prayer on Tuesday evening. And as we have been announcing as well, there'll be a special offering lifted on Tuesday night to help with the costs of camp as well. So please remember that Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, that special meeting given over to the work of summer camp. Now, this is also the night when we meet around the Lord's table, so we'll have the Lord's table also on Tuesday evening as well, God willing. Next Lord's Day, meetings at 11:30 and 6:30, both of the services preceded by the half hour of prayer, and I'll be here to bring God's word, God willing, at both of the meetings. And also there'll be the open air after the gospel service. Some other matters for you. We'd ask you to continue to remember those who need our prayers at this time, those who are unwell, many in the congregation who are laid aside with sickness at this time, to remember them. I also ask you especially to remember our sister Jennifer, Jennifer Newbury. She's been moved out of hospital and now into nursing care. And do remember Jennifer very much in your prayer. She is very weak and very ill at this time, so please do remember her. Saturday the 30th of July, that will be the open-air witness at the Sodomite Parade down in the city centre. Meeting in the normal place, we haven't had this open-air for the past 2 years, but we are having it again this year, and that's just outside the old bank building there at the junction of North Street and Waring Street. That's at 11 a.m., Saturday the 30th of July. And if you're free, you'd be certainly more than welcome to join that open-air gospel witness on Saturday the 30th. It is always customary for me to announce and to make mention of special significant birthdays. It's in my own home this time, so I'm feeling a wee bit awkward, but I better do it as well. My firstborn, our firstborn, has come of age, and Kirsten has turned 18 today. And so she's working hard. Connor's making her work even on her birthday up there in the sound desk. But happy birthday to her. And if it's been your birthday this past week, significant or not, a very happy birthday to you as well. Do remember the offering boxes available there as you leave for your offerings and for your tithes. We're going to sing another hymn, please, the hymn number 381. 381, When Upon Life's Billows You Are Tempest Tossed, When You Are Discouraged, Thinking All Is Lost, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One, and It Will Surprise You What the Lord Hath Done. 381, we'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please.
Surprise you, God the Lord.
We're turning back this morning to the book of 2 Kings, please. 2 Kings chapter 4. We want to consider, by the help of the Lord this morning, the subject of God's plan for our problems. God's plan for our problems. We will center our thoughts upon these seven verses as we come again to consider the life and the ministry of Elisha. But before we come to God's word, let's still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer. And let's all just take a moment to ask the Lord to speak to us. We don't come here just as a mere formality or a mere ritual. We come to hear the word of God, and we come to hear God's voice through his word. And so let's all seek to hear what the Lord would have to say to us this morning. Heavenly Father, as we come into thy presence again, and Lord, as we come to thy word, we realize, O God, just how much we need thy help. We acknowledge, O Lord, that the natural mind cannot understand the supernatural, divine things of God. Therefore, O God, we need the help of the Spirit. Lord, I need thee to preach as I ought to preach. Lord, we all need thee to hear as we ought to hear. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll open our eyes, you'll open our ears, you'll open our heart. And Lord, that this day as the word of God goes forth, we pray that it truly will be thy word to all of our hearts this morning. O God, help us to hear today. Help us, Lord, to understand. Help us to take in and to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. Bless thy word to our hearts, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. I'm sure there are very few, if any, this morning, that have not been in what we would call a tight spot. In a very hard and a very difficult place, we would say at wit's end corner, or perhaps going down dead end street. Perhaps even as you sit in God's house this morning, you're in a place where it seems that problems are just mounting up all the time. And it seems to be no escape and no respite from the pains of life. The lady in our Bible reading this morning was in such a place. She was destitute, she was a widow, she was in a terrible state. Yet as we will see this morning through the Word of God, God had a plan even for her problems. God had a plan for her problems. And right at the very outset of our meeting this morning, I want you to know that whatever problem or problems you may be facing right now in your life, God has a plan for them as well. As you sit this morning, perhaps you face into an unknown future. You face an uncertain future, and problems are all around you. And it seems that you're engulfed with all the difficulties of life. And just as this widow, there are just problem after problem after problem. Well, I want you to see that God has a plan for all of our problems. Yes, he has sovereignly decreed all that will happen to us, but he also has a plan for us as we deal with all of life's problems. Four things I want us to notice here in this passage of Scripture as we consider God's plan for our problems. The first thing I want you to see here concerning this woman is the extremity of her condition. The extremity of her condition. Because before we go on to look at her problems, it's important to see what exactly they were. What were the difficulties in her life at this time? Well, first of all, there was tragedy. Tragedy. Look at verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead." Her husband was one of the Bible students in the schools of the prophets. It's very likely that Elisha knew this man. In fact, they would be very sure that Elisha knew this man because she describes him to Elisha as "thy servant. And whatever the circumstance of this man's passing has been a great pain and heartache to this woman. This is a personal tragedy. And we'll see in verse number 1 that he was a godly man. Look at verse 1. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. He was a man of God. He was a man seeking to live his life for God, seeking to learn more about the things of God, yet it pleased the Lord to take this man home to glory. But in doing so, it left this woman, a widow. And look at that statement there in verse number 1. Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And you can sense the utter pain and heartache that she's enduring, that she's struggling with, and understandably so. Now, we can never understand why God takes the best of people before they've even really started to live for God. Why God allowed this to happen in this home, we do not know. Why God in His plan and His providence decreed this is beyond our finite understanding. We believe in a God who is sovereign. We believe in a God who works all things together for good. But the Lord knows that while we believe this to be true and while we know this to be true, He also understands that we don't understand. Thy servant, my husband, is dead. But as we'll go on to see, we'll see just how much the Lord was going to care and provide and meet the need of this woman. It will always be hard to understand the tragedies of life this side of eternity. But we know that God makes no mistakes. And that one day on that heavenly shore, we'll understand it and we'll know why God acted in the way He did. And for all eternity, we'll praise Him for all of His plans that here on earth were problems for us. This woman faced tragedy. But not only did she face tragedy, she also faced turmoil. Because in look in verse number 1 at the end of it, the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. The main provider in the family is gone, and this left this woman destitute and in debt. Whatever created this debt, we do not know. But the death of her husband left her unable to meet the payment. Look, the creditor is come. He's coming looking for his money, looking for the debt to be paid. You know, as I studied this passage of Scripture this week, there's tremendous gospel applications. I was very tempted to preach the gospel from the same passage tonight. I'm not, but maybe at some other time I will. What a picture of the sinner here is seen in this woman. This woman was in debt, and she couldn't pay the debt. And how does that typify and speak of every sinner? All who are born into this world, we owed a debt of sin that we could never pay. And the only way you or I will ever pay that debt of sin is in a lost hell for all eternity. But the gospel Christ Jesus came into this world to die on the cross to pay that debt of sin for us that we might go free. You see, our debt of sin will be paid either through us in a lost eternity or through Christ on the cross. This woman had a great debt. And sinner, in this meeting today without Christ, you have a great debt as well. A debt of sin. You're a debtor because of sin. That debt can never be paid by yourself. And the only way that debt can be paid is by the blood of Jesus Christ. But getting back to this woman's turmoil, this woman's debt, it was financial, and it seems that she had tried to pay for it. Perhaps she had tried to clear the debt, but it wasn't enough. And now the wolves are at the door, and they're coming to take what they can. And we see in the end of verse number 2 that all this woman had was a pot of oil. It's all she had. She was destitute, and she was at the end of her little resources. And I just say something here in passing, because there are those holier than thou, sanctimonious hypocrites, who will use this very passage of Scripture and say that you should never be in debt. You can't afford to buy a house, well then don't buy a house. You can't afford to buy a car, well don't buy a car. If you can afford to buy a house without getting a mortgage, well the Lord bless you. This situation arose not because of this man's greed, or his love of this world's goods. We have seen he was a man who feared God. This wasn't a man living beyond his means. This was a man who was seeking to do as much as he could to provide for and to meet the needs of his family. The Lord is not rebuking debt here. And of course, we must be sensible and cautious as far as that is concerned. That's not the case when we come to this man. He's training for the work of God, and he's seeking to provide for his family. This was a godly man, but that doesn't mean he was going to be a rich man. It didn't guarantee his wealth or his prosperity. But his untimely death has left this woman now with this burden of debt, and she's destitute. Oh, you may not have financial problems today, but maybe you're destitute mentally and emotionally and spiritually. And you're destitute and you find yourself in such a hard and a difficult place because of the situations of life. Maybe because of your own making. Maybe because of your own wandering from God. You're in a place today where you're destitute. And your life is spiraling out of control. Well, it's time then to get back to God and get right with God. But maybe you, like this man and this woman, you're seeking to live your life the best you can for God, but yet you're still destitute. And you're still struggling with all that is happening in your life. I want you to know that God still has a plan for you. And God can still use what it seems to you to be a difficulty to his glory and to his honor. We see the extremity of her condition. There was tragedy and there was turmoil. But I want you to see not only the extremity of her condition, I want you to see secondly as well, there's the example of her character. The example of her character. Because even in the midst of her difficulty, even in the midst of her extremity, this woman showed tremendous strength of character. We sing the hymn, "When you feel weakest, danger surround." And one of the lines is, "If all were easy, if all were bright, where would the cross be? Where would the fight? But in the hardness, God gives to you chances of proving that you are true." Here was a chance for this woman to prove the strength of her character and her Christian faith. Folks, we should use our tight spots, our hard places, to allow our lives to shine even brighter for the Lord. The dark times of life are times when we show that our strength comes not from ourselves, but comes from Him. That's what's happened here in the life of this woman. She allowed her life to shine for the Lord, even when her heart was broken and shattered. As we think of the example of her character, notice her appeal. Verse number 1. "Now there cried." There cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. What did she do? She brought her problem to the Lord. Yes, she brought them to Elisha. But remember, Elisha was God's man in the nation at that time. And in bringing her problems to Elisha, she was bringing her problems to the Lord. She had many of them. She had many difficulties. But she brought them to the only place that would bring her relief and give her great help. She brought them to the Lord. It may be that no one knew the problems she was facing. No one knew the debt that she had to endure. The very fact that just in a matter of time she could lose her own sons who would have to go into bondage to pay for the debt. These creditors were going to show no mercy. And what does she do? She makes her appeal to the Lord. She's driven by despair to the mercy seat. She's driven by destitution to the feet of Christ with her problems. Dear believer today, whatever it is that takes us to come to Jesus Christ with all of our burdens, thank God for it. Whatever it is that brings us to that place where we see we need the Lord and only the Lord, thank the Lord for it. She is brought to the end of her resources. She has got nothing save this pot of oil. But she could bring her problems to the Lord. And maybe this morning as you face a very difficult, unknown future, you can bring your problems to the mercy seat. You can bring your problems to the Lord. And He has promised to hear, and He has promised to answer. As she appealed to the Lord, she was honest. She was open. But the Lord knew all about her problems. But in prayer, the Lord wants us to pour out our burdens to the Lord. He wants us to bring those things to Him in prayer, to present it all before Him. Everything that troubled her, she brought it to the Lord. The hymn writer says, all your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden He cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus. All your anxiety, all your care. He knows exactly what you're going through this morning. He knows exactly the pain and the problems that you face this morning. And perhaps nobody else knows about it. And the thing is, folks, nobody else needs to know about it. But you can bring it to the Lord. And you can make your appeal to Him. She was not going to find mercy at the hands of these creditors. They were going to be ruthless. She was only going to find mercy at the mercy seat. She was only going to find help by bringing these matters to the Lord. We see her appeal. Sadly, whenever people get into that tight spot, when they get into that difficult place, what do? They run from the Lord. And they get away from God, and they stop praying, and they stop coming to church, and they stop living their lives for God. And listen, that will never help your situation. Running from God, getting away from God, getting away from the house of God and the place of prayer will never help your situation. This woman brought everything to the Lord and left it there. We see her appeal. We also see her awareness. What was she doing here? When we read that she cried unto Elisha, saying and unburdening her heart, what was she doing? She was showing that she was fully aware of her need of the Lord. Here was a woman in great difficulty, yes. Yet she was fully aware of how much she needed the Lord. I wonder this morning, you seek to claim to be a Christian, do you really see how much you and I need the Lord in our lives? Well, we can come out with all the pious statements, but sadly sometimes actions don't follow up those statements. Remember, this lady is a parent. She's the mother of two children. And she brings not only her problems to the Lord, but she brings her children to the Lord. The situation in relation to her children could be very difficult. They could be taken from her. And she, as a parent, is bringing her children to the Lord. Those of us who are blessed with children, oh, how much we need to see how much we need the Lord to bring up our children. To teach them in the things of God. To train them up in the things of God. To encourage them to the house of God. And to seek to saturate their lives with the things of God. You can be busy running your children to sports every night of the week, every hobby and every interest, and yet not have time for the Lord. This woman realized that as a parent, her priority was to ensure that the Lord did what was right in their lives. And she shows just how much, as a parent, she needed the Lord. Just how much do we need the Lord today? As we seek to bring our children up in the things of God. Because let me say in love to every parent this morning, and I say this as much to myself as to anybody else, the most important thing in our child's life is not what they do or attain academically. It's not about what college or university they might go to. It's not about what career path they might choose in life. It's not about what vocation or occupation they may seek to go down. The most important thing in the life of our children and in our young people is the Lord. And living their lives for Him. That's all that matters. Oh, if they're blessed with great academia, that's great. God bless them. If they're blessed with a great job, God bless them. But what are those things if their lives are not right with God? Here, this woman was bringing her children to the Lord. What an example she set before us. The example of her character, her appeal, and her awareness. But let's move on, and we see not only the extremity of her condition, the example of her character, but I want you to see as well there's the encouragement of her case. Because as we come into verse number 2, Elisha asks her very simple, very straight questions. He says, "What shall I do for thee, and what hast thou in the house? What do you need, and what do you have?" The only thing she had, as we see at the end of verse 2, was a pot of oil. Every cupboard was bare, every drawer was empty, but this one pot of oil. And yet, in that tight spot, with just that one pot of oil, the Lord was going to work a miracle and meet the need of this woman in a supernatural way. Let's see now what Elisha said unto her. As we think of the encouragement of her case, notice here the challenge. Look at verse 3. "Then he," that is Elisha, "said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." Elisha says to this woman, "Go and borrow." Yet it was borrowing that got her into the problem in the first place. But that what she was to do. This was a test, you see. This was a challenge. Was she going to trust the Lord to meet her need? Even though it seemed the totally wrong way to go about it. This woman's faith was being put to the test. We want God to meet our need. But folks, let's be honest. How many times have we had it all worked out in our own wee heads?
And we know just exactly when every duck is lined up in the row. We know exactly. That'll be it. And yet God's plan could be something entirely different. Go borrow.
This seemed the last thing that this woman should do. God's plan is always a different plan from what we would think. But I tell you this, it's always the best plan. And not only was she to borrow vessels, but look in verse 3, she was to borrow empty vessels. What use were empty vessels to this woman? She needed them filled. You see, the only type of vessels that God can use are vessels that are empty. The hymn writer says, empty that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thine hand, emptied of everything. You see, before the Lord can use us, we need to be emptied of ourselves. We need to be emptied of our own thoughts, of our own plans, of our own ambitions. For the Lord to meet this woman's need, these vessels needed to be emptied. For the Lord to show His power, these vessels needed to be seemingly useless. What use, humanly speaking, was an empty vessel to meet this woman's need? No use. But I tell you, an empty vessel in the hands of God, as we'll see, was of great use. Maybe you think today your life is insignificant. You don't have much to offer to the Lord. But when you place your life in the hands of God, what a great use God can have for you. Notice another part of this challenge. She was to go to borrow. She was to go borrow empty vessels. But look at the end of verse 3. She was to borrow not a few. In other words, she was to get as many as she possibly could. Borrow not a few. So many thoughts that come to mind even in that little phrase, borrow not a few. But let me leave one with you. This woman was to expect great things from God. This woman was to expect God to answer, not just by filling one or two, but by filling a multitude. By her going and getting these empty vessels and getting as many as she could, she was saying to the Lord, I believe you, I trust you, even though I don't know and I can't see. She was to expect not just simply the provision of God, she was to expect the abundant provision of God. Have we lost in the work of God the sense of expectation in the work of God? Have we allowed these past few years, which have been wretched for the Church of Jesus Christ, to dim our vision and to put out our fire? Have we lost the sight of the greatness and the powerfulness of our God? Have we got this just expect a few mentality? Because that's what we're accustomed to, and that's what we think. Borrow not a few. In other words, don't just ask for a few. Ask for many. From the start of this year, we've been praying for 10 souls and for 10 new families. God can give us more than that. But do we believe Him? Do we? Are we living as if we believe God can do great things for us? Borrow not a few. It was a challenge. But as we look more at the encouragement of her case, not only the challenge, but notice as well now the concealing. Look at verse 4. Elisha goes on and commands her, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. When thou art come in, shut the door upon thee. The miracle that God was going to perform was to be concealed and seen only by the woman and her sons. They were the only ones who needed to see it. They had gone out and obediently followed the commands of God. Now they were to be the special witnesses of the miracle-working power of God. As these empty vessels were brought in and filled in secret. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee. What a lesson today. What a lesson today for the Church of Jesus Christ. Oh, so many churches are scrambling over themselves to advertise and to publicize on social media. People who were saved in their church, big numbers who were in at their meetings, all their activities and dozens of photographs to accompany everything. I'm not so convinced that that is what the Lord wants us to do. Such blatant self-promotion of churches and people and individuals of our activities. The Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Do not thine alms before men to be seen of them. This mighty miracle was to be concealed. Verse 5, so she went from him and shut the door upon her son, upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. As we bring this message to a close, I just want you for a moment to put yourself in that woman's position. We don't know how many vessels she has. I would suggest to you she had a multitude of them. But all she had was this one pot of oil. And she went out obediently and faithfully at the command of God, got all of these vessels, but all she had to fill all of them was just one pot. Mathematically, it didn't work out. And as she started to pour, one was filled. And yet there was more still in the pot, and another was filled, and another was filled. That brings us finally then to the expansion of her capital, because look at verse 6, as this woman started to fill the vessels one by one, they were all filled up. Until every single vessel that she had went out and borrowed was full of oil. There wasn't one of them empty. And immediately her wealth was expanded enough to be in a position that she could repay the debt that she owed. God provided for her debt in verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil. God provided for her desires. Go sell the oil, pay the debt, and thou and thy children shall live of the rest. God provided for her dependents. God had a plan for her problem. And every vessel that she had brought in was filled. And look at the end of verse 6, and the oil stayed. Do you know, if there had been as many more vessels, they would have been filled as well. Her faith was rewarded. She expected great things from God. And God blessed her by meeting her need and providing for her all that she needed. What made the oil stop flowing? She ran out of vessels. God met her need perfectly and timely. Because she had faith in what God could do. She trusted the God of the supernatural. The church today is in such a negative state of mind. We're coming to the end of the times, and you know my thoughts on that. And all we just do is sail merrily along until someday soon, any moment the Lord's going to come. No. No. The Lord is not coming back for a dejected church. The Lord is coming back for a glorious church. Do we believe it? Do we believe the Lord when he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Do we believe that the Lord is able to fill this little congregation to overflowing? Do we believe it? The Lord is going to work in spite of us, whether we work with him or not. The Lord doesn't need the Free Presbyterian Church to do his work. He can use anyone, but God use us. Are we ready? Do we have the faith to believe that God is able to do great and mighty things? If this woman had went out and just got a few vessels, it would never have met her need. It would never have paid her debt. But she went out in obedience to God, got everything she could, every vessel from her neighbors that she could. They were all filled. God met her need. In the midst of her extremity, in the midst of her difficulty, God had a plan. And God provided the adequacy, the ability, and the sufficiency to meet her need. Whatever you're going through this morning, remember this. God has a plan for your problems. We've got to trust him. We've got to bring them all to the Lord. And let's see God meet our need in a supernatural way. The greatest need of your heart, perhaps, today is that need of salvation. Not right with God, far from him. The Lord can meet that need today because in Christ, he gave his life that you might experience the miracle of the new birth. And for those of us who know and love the Lord, let's believe God. Let's expect God. Let's work believing that God will meet our need and fill up not the pots that are empty, but the pews. God is able. God is able. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that you be pleased to bless thy word to our hearts. Give us, O God, today that faith even as that widow woman had. Lord, teach us thy way. Give us the strength, O God, to walk in the ways of God. Give us, Lord, the faith to take thee at thy word, even though thy plans may seem to be different to our plans. Lord, work in us and through us, we pray. And may we trust thee. And may we expect our God to do those great and mighty things for us. So be with us, we pray. Write thy word upon our hearts. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen.